This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your thank yous for giving out the world's greatest queso recipe. That was in hour one. You got to go download the podcast if you missed it. But yeah, you're going to eat like a king. And remember, I don't need any credit. There's no limit to what you can accomplish if you're willing to take credit for other people's work. You steal that recipe and you claim it's yours. In fact, put your name on it. All right, it's Monday. Every Monday at this time, we do the same thing without fail. It's called Medal of Honor Monday. For you new listeners, we take a Medal of Honor citation, the write-up they did about someone who earned a Medal of Honor, and we read it. That's it. We read about this legend. We read about the heroes, the deeds they did, because if we don't read about them, then it's like they didn't happen. We hold them up in front of the next generation as being something to aspire to. There's so much garbage out there now you could aspire to. This is the kind of stuff we need to aspire to. And we take email recommendations too. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. You have one you like, maybe a relative, friend of a friend, whatever's fine. This one said, Jesse, this, you know what? I think I'll just read the citation instead of the email. Either way, it was an email recommendation. I don't want to give it away just yet. But without further ado, this is the Medal of Honor citation for a one David Bruce Bleek, U.S. Army, Korea. This was June 14th, 1952.
Ready?
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
Sergeant Bleek, a member of the medical company, distinguished himself by conspicuous gallantry and indomitable courage above and beyond the call of duty in action against the enemy. As a medical aid man, he volunteered to accompany a reconnaissance patrol committed to engaging the enemy and capture a prisoner for interrogation. Forging up the rugged slope of the key terrain, the group was subjected to intense automatic weapons and small arms fire and suffered several casualties. After administering to the wounded, he continued to advance with the patrol. Nearing the military crest of the hill, while attempting to cross the fire-swept area to attend the wounded, he came under hostile fire from a small group of the enemy concealed in a trench. Entering the trench, he closed with the enemy, killed two with bare hands, and a third with his trench knife. Moving from the emplacement, he saw a concussion grenade fall in front of a companion, and quickly shifting his position, shielded the man from the impact of the blast. Later, while ministering to the wounded, he was struck by a hostile bullet, but despite the wound, he undertook to evacuate a wounded comrade. As he moved down the hill with his heavy burden, he was attacked by two enemy soldiers with fixed bayonets. Closing with the aggressors, he grabbed them and smacked their heads together and then carried his helpless comrade down the hill to safety. Sergeant Bleek's dauntless courage and intrepid actions reflect utmost credit upon himself and are in keeping with the honored traditions of the military service.
Tell me again about that toxic masculinity. Homie's out there killing people with his trench knife, his bare hands, and then, like it's an episode of the Three Stooges, he just grabs two of them in his way, trying to stab him with bayonets and smashes their heads together on the way down the hill. Daggone, son. Daggone. That's how men used to be. Now we have this.
It's
Thing to the level of impeachment inquiry, which provides Congress the strongest power to get the rest of the knowledge and information needed. I believe we will follow this all the way to the end, and this is going to rise to an impeachment inquiry the way the Constitution tells us to do this, and we have to get the answers to these questions.
Golly. They're never going to impeach him, are they? But look how late it is. I should know. Look how late it is. It's getting late. It's July 31st. Election year's coming. You know, let's get to some emails. I don't have enough time for Bill Barr right now. Let's get to some emails. Jesse, I saw on social media it's your anniversary. I thought, what better way to celebrate than for you to tell the story about the time you left your wife on the side of the road? Now that you're a world-famous author, I'm sure you have lots of new listeners who haven't heard that story. Well, one, the anniversary was Saturday. It was number 17. Maybe you're sitting there wondering, what did you do for your anniversary? Well, we got each other no gifts, not even a card. We just decided that we were just going to save money this year. And we kind of do this sometimes where we think it's not a big deal. No, Michael, I did not take her out to Red Lobster. I suggested Red Lobster and she rejected it very rudely, very rudely. We went out to some other place where we ate oysters and then we went home and we went to bed. That was anniversary. Okay, and what? That's one. Two, you make way too much. You've always made way too much of that leaving her on the side of the road story. This is what happened. And this, I know this makes me sound like a bad person, but I think people blow this out of proportion. I was visiting. I think we were just dating at the time. I believe we were only dating. We weren't married yet. No, we would have had to have been married. Okay, so we were freshly married. We were either dating or freshly married. I don't remember, but we were young. And went back to Ohio to meet her parents. I'd met them before, but spend time with her family. She's very close with her extended family, cousins, aunts, uncles, the works. Going back there, pay my dues, say hi to everybody. We're out driving around. It's just her and I. I'm driving, of course, because the man drives. Anyway, I'm driving, of course. And we end up getting in a fight about something, an argument of something. Believe me, it wasn't important. But especially when you're young in a relationship, you fight. And there's nothing wrong with that. Go have your fight and then make up afterwards and have a good time. So we got in this huge fight. Well, the wife is no shrinking violet. I know you're going to find this shocking, but that would bore me. And I would run over a shrinking violet. This is a headstrong woman. So when we fight, when we argue, not that we don't really do that much anymore, we argue. We had this huge argument in the car. Who knows what it was about? Eventually, now we're driving around Ohio. Right? We're not in Compton. We're in Ohio. We're not in a bad part of town. I need to stress this. Eventually, she says, she gets so mad. She says, stop. Let me out. I want out of the car. And I said, what do you mean you want out of the car? No, I'll walk home or I'll find another way to get home. Something to that effect. Well, I was hot-tempered at the time, too, and a little headstrong myself. So I pulled over. I let her out of the car, and I took off. And I never gave it a second thought. I pulled over. I let her out. You said you want to walk? You want to go on the way home? Have a good time. Fellas, don't ever do that. You should not leave your woman on the side of the road just for basic safety reasons, right? If you want to have an argument, have an argument, but don't leave her on the side of the road. But I did. I did. I most definitely did. And to this day, 17 years of marriage later, she will bring up old stuff like that. Yeah, like the time you left me on the side of the road. And no matter how loud I scream, you told me to. It doesn't do any good. She still won't let it go. All right, I want to play this cut that Michael found. It's a couple comedians, Matt and Shane Gillis. Apparently, they have a podcast. And we're going to have a talk. This will be a more general discussion about men and how we operate. And, well, I'm going to let him go.
Here. It was literally my dream. I think I still might be dreaming. Four ladies were like,
I'm going to let that literally go for the purpose of time. I'm going to let the literally go.
It was literally my dream. I think I still might be dreaming. Four ladies were like, that's so gnarly. I was like, it's nothing. Like, did you get the vax? I went, Nah, it was tough guy. I was in Tough Guy
that's
Heaven.
That's about as cool as it gets.
I was in Tough Guy Heaven, dude. It was the best, dude.
God, what's it's nothing more shameful when somebody's like, "Did you get it?" It's like, yeah, I had to. Equally, so embarrassing.
To be fair,
let's have a talk about that. Okay, so it's a couple dudes joking around. Let's have a talk about us. Let's have a talk about the future. And how we want to feel about ourselves and our actions in the future. Because if we make up our minds the right way now about things, if we get our minds right now, then in the future, we will conduct ourselves in ways that we look back on and we're proud. And if we don't get our minds right now, then we will do things in the future and we'll look back on them and we will be ashamed. A little bit embarrassed. Let's have that talk. Before we have that talk, let's have a talk about putting our money where our morals are. You see, we used to not have options. Even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, how many options did you have if you needed to go buy bedding somewhere? You know where you went. We all went to Walmart, or we all went to Bed Bath & Beyond, or something. That's where you went. Target, something like that. MyPillow now. They're celebrating their 20-year anniversary because 20 years ago, they changed all that. You want the greatest pillow ever? They have queen-size MyPillows, normally $69.98. Right now, they're on sale for $19.98. The king size, which I call Jesse size, is just $10 more. But they have sheets, mattress toppers. Oh, my gosh, you've got to try the mattress topper. The pajamas. The wife loves the pajamas. MyPillow, my slippers, everything. You have to go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special Square and use the promo code Jesse. Everything is on sale for their 20th anniversary. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Or call 800-845-0544.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we're not even halfway done yet, and it's only Monday, baby. Don't worry. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and let's have a talk. It's time to have a frank talk about ourselves and being proud of ourselves. It's time
we're
to do a little...
changing people's lives.
What, Chris? Let's go back to this little podcast bit. Matt and Shane Gillis podcast. I'm not promoting it. I don't know who they are. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's crap. I don't know, but... they were talking about getting the vaccine, not getting the vaccine. This is what they had to say.
It was literally my dream. I think I still might be dreaming. Four ladies were like, "That's so gnarly." I was like, "It's nothing." Like, "Did you get the vax?" I went, "Nah." It was Tough Guy. I was in Tough Guy Heaven.
That's about as cool as it gets.
I was in Tough Guy Heaven, dude. It was the best, dude.
God, it's nothing more shameful when somebody's like, "Did you get it?" It's like, yeah, I had to. Equally, so embarrassing.
To be fair.
Dudes, one of them bragging in front of the ladies. Nah, I didn't get it. The other one putting his head down in shame. Yeah, I got it. And I need to clarify something. This is not about you and whatever decision you made with that therapeutic they told you was a vaccine. Maybe you were scared. Maybe you were forced in some way. Couldn't see your mom. Couldn't see your son. Couldn't go to work, couldn't participate in this. This is no judgment on you. But why that kind of talk now? Why? Because I've heard that talk before. I know you've heard that kind of talk before. The people who didn't get it get a little puffy in the chest. The people who did, I could show you the emails. You email me and tell me, "Jesse, I wished I hadn't gotten it. Jesse, I'm embarrassed. Jesse, I'm still mad I had to get it. Jesse, no one emails in." No, I don't think I've ever gotten one and said, "Yes, I got it. Thrilled. So proud." Nobody said that. Everyone knows they were sold a bill of goods. Even if you believe it works, it expires in like 5 minutes. You got to keep going to get a new one. So why? Well, here's why. People are susceptible. All of us. You, me, everybody. We're all susceptible to societal pressures, to peer pressure. Peer pressure is the best way to describe that. That's the word we would all know. We're all susceptible to peer pressure. And the horrible thing about that is when you're done, when the peer pressure's over, when all that pressure's gone, and you look back at yourself, universally, if you went along with what everyone else was doing, you feel a little bit of shame. You feel a little bit of regret. Why? Because you went through a test. That was a self-test. That was a stress test for you, for your inner strength, your inner fortitude. And I'm not just talking about vaccine stuff. This applies to a million different things in life. You went through a test, a stress test, and you failed. I look back at so many things I did in my younger years. So many things I did, and I wish I hadn't done them. And I look back, and I'm not blaming friends. I blame me. I'd be around friends who were doing them. Everyone was doing it. And this can be large things or small things. It can be having an extra beer you know you shouldn't have. Or it could be doing something stupid with your hairstyle. Whatever it may be. I look back on my 42 years. And there are so many things that I look at. And I say to myself, man, I did what everyone else was doing. What everyone else thought was cool at the time. And I look back at those moments and I think to myself, I wished I was better than that back then. I wished I was stronger than that back then. But here's why there's benefit in doing that kind of self-analysis. It was having a lifetime of those kinds of things. That's part of what kept me strong during all the COVID vax insanity. Even when the whole world was telling you and me that we were crazy, we didn't know what we were talking about, I held strong in that time. Why? Because I felt the pain of not holding strong, the shame of not holding strong. Now, why do I talk about this? Why are we talking about this now? It has nothing to do with the vax or no vax. It has to do with the future. Because I don't know much. I'm actually not an oracle. I just make that up for radio. But I do know this. Now, this I do know. There will be another thing. Whatever it is. Pandemic, droughts, famines, wars, who knows. There's going to be another thing. Another thing everyone seems to participate in. Republicans and Democrats, left and right. Remember, COVID lockdowns, shutting down the country. That was a bipartisan thing. I could play you the press conference. It was Donald Trump's press conference. Shut it down. 15 days. Lock the place down. Then the Democrats jumped in on it too. Oh yeah, shut it down. Lock everything down forever. There's going to be another thing that's like that. There is. There's going to be another thing that comes along, I promise you, in your lifetime, where everyone, friends, neighbors, the people you listen to on the radio, watch on TV, people you read, where all the influences on in your life are pulling you in a direction you're not totally sure of. When that next time comes, just remember, if you choose to only think for yourself, hold strong, resist the peer pressure, then the next time when you're looking back on how you acted, you might just find yourself awfully proud of yourself. All right? All right. Now, let's get to why high school boys are trending to the right and Bill Barr and we'll make fun of LeBron James. First, let's get you protected properly. How do you do that? Self-defense classes? Well, yes, obviously. You want to go take a grappling course. That would be beneficial to all of us, men and women. But the truth is this. There are people on this earth who live a life of violence. That's all they've ever lived. That's all they've ever known. It's violence from their childhood, being victims of it, then being perpetrators of it. And when you run into that man in a dark parking garage somewhere, you better have something more than grappling classes to handle him. Do you carry a hero arrow on you at all times? Double barrel blast of pepper gel that will put him down. But it's non-lethal. So even if you don't like guns, it's fine. You don't need a concealed carry permit, but the person you love needs one. Get them one. Go to hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to get to Genocidal Maniacs here in just about 10 minutes from now. I want to get to this story about high school boys getting more conservative. We get to some emails, then we'll get to genocide. Genocide's always a light and fluffy topic.
You know, freedom is not free.
High school boys are trending conservative. It's an article from The Hill. Someone did a big survey. And this is a new thing. Normally, young people lean left and they drift left. And I should clarify, that's still happening with women, so it's not all good news. The share of 12th grade girls who identified as liberal rose from 19% to 30% in just the last 10 years. But it's going the other way with men, with young boys, teenage boys. Why? What's happening there? Well, it's something that's a good thing and a sad thing and a bad thing, and this is what's happening. What's happened in our society is this. Men, being a man, everything that has to do with being a boy or being a man has been demonized and degraded and put down as if it's wrong. As if it's wrong and it's stupid and men are stupid and that guy's, you're just a dumb oaf and or probably just a violent guy because you're a dude and men are violent. And the world would be peaceful if women ran it and men suck and men suck and men suck and men suck over and over and over and over and over again. You can't even have a movie anymore without, you got to have a female heroine spin kicking her way. It used to be Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis. Now it's Scarlett Johansson. That's the way our society has gone. Heavily, heavily feminized. And the men, quote, men in our society, so often they come off as soft and feminine themselves. And that's, look, this is all bad. This is where we're at as a country. Everything I just described there is bad. But always remember, there is such thing as just how you were made. For men, especially young men, God created them their way, his way, for a reason, and they are full of testosterone. And young men crave adventure. Young men, they like to do things that are physically challenging, whether it be sports or hunting or something. And they admire men who do those things, things that are physically challenging. Men love to compete with each other. They do. Young men, they live and die for it. People ask me for parenting tips. Not that I think I'm qualified to give anyone parenting tips. And I can't tell you what to do about girls because God didn't give me any of those. But I will give you a parenting tip if you're a parent of boys. And this is an all-time great. You ready for the easiest all-time great one? If we're getting ready to leave, we're taking off, we have a dinner reservation. And I tell the boys, let's say they're screwing off somewhere, messing with each other or something. And I tell the boys, hey, get your shoes on, hurry up. They might hurry up. Maybe. They might start heading right towards their shoes. And these are obedient kids. They might get distracted. Maybe they don't want to go to dinner. Maybe they'll be on their way to their shoes and they'll run into the dog because they can't ever walk by the dog without messing with the idiot dog. But if I were to say to them, you have 1 minute to get your shoes on, boom, like they're shot out of a cannon every time. And I'll set a timer, setting a timer on my phone. Your shoes better be on and you in the car in 1 minute. And even though there'll be protests and dad, that's not enough time. They'll hear beep, timer's already started. You'll watch those kids move like the wind around the house. But why is that? Why? What's magic about a stupid timer I put on my phone? Competition, an achievement, a goal. Oh no, shoes on in a minute? Oh, I can do that. Hang on. Now, as a society, as we've drifted away from that and demonize being a man and demonize malehood and all these things, these teenage boys are still craving it. And because they're still craving it, they're now seeking out at a young age, they're seeking out alternative forms of media where they can be told they matter, where they will be told things like, hey, man, go work out. Hey, do something a little adventurous. Hey, sweat is a good thing. Guess what? Not letting your woman push you around is a good thing. No dude grows up thinking, man, I hope my wife dominates me one day. I hope I have no say-so whatsoever. No young dude in history has ever thought that. Every guy wants to be the king of his own house. Every man, that's how they are. That's how God made them, to be the head of the home. But we don't tell them that. We tell them they suck and they're stupid and you can barely tie your shoes and make sure you just bow before Almighty Woman. And what happens when you tell that to teenage boys over and over and over and over and over again, biology will take over. They will instinctively reject it and they will seek out other things. It should be noted, though, this can go bad. This can go bad because when you're searching for a port in a storm, oftentimes you can end up in the wrong place, in a bad place. You'll see this with young men a lot these days. You see a bunch of these guys in the media world who are not good. They're not something boys should want to be, but because it's the only thing they see available to them out there, they're going to grab a hold of it. So it can manifest itself in bad ways, but that's why you're seeing what you're seeing. And that's why I've been warning people. Well, not warning people. I've been celebrating this. I know there's all kinds of crappy news all the time, and we can feel bad about the country, and Biden sucks, and blah, 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 and all these things. Yeah, that's fine. I'm telling you, I run into these young people with their parents at events. We'll have parents who will email the show about their kids, or kids will email the show. Kids who fall asleep listening to the Jesse Kelly Show every single night. Kids who are calling out classmates in school, teachers in school. There is a generation coming of anti-communists, and they are going to be a problem for the communists to deal with. I'm telling you. You think I'm hardcore? There's a generation coming that's going to make me look like a fluffy teddy bear. There are anti-communists now. You don't know them yet. You're not aware of them yet because they're 10 years old, because they're 12 years old. But there's a generation of freedom fighters coming. They're not going to have any time.
Well,
for this
I
kind
do.
Of talk.
It's not good for the Republic to keep impeaching presidents and indicting presidents. Yeah. All of this stuff is destructive. The other side says, "Oh, they want to. They're for preserving democracy." They're pitting everyone against each other, and they're destroying the fabric of our republic. So, I think we have to be careful not to fall into the same trap.
The next generation of anti-communists has no time for that. He will have no time for that. The next generation of anti-communists is going to demand testosterone levels. The next generation of anti-communists, he's probably going to make his candidates pledge to take a male vitality stack from Chalk before they get into office. That's probably what they're going to do. No, I want you to sit and take your male vitality stack on video every day so we know you're getting the natural herbal supplements to keep your T levels up, because we can't have this "we're better than that" talk anymore. By the way, get yourself on a male vitality stack so you can be that anti-communist. Ladies, female vitality stack. We have to fight back against the endless poisons and the foods and the water and everything else, but we're not going to fight that pharma crap with more pharma crap. Natural herbal supplements, the highest quality there is, from Chalk, from my friends, the anti-communists at Chalk. Subscriptions? Get a subscription so you don't have to reorder it, but more importantly, get a subscription so you save money. 35% off is no joke. That's not 5% or 10%. 35% for the lifetime of the subscription? Chalk.com, promo code Jesse gets you that 35% off, all right? Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Yeah, we don't have any more time for this.
Well, I do believe we are at this point. An inquiry is different from an impeachment vote and is another tool in the toolbox. But I will tell you, every time we walk the plank, we are putting moderate members, members that won Biden won districts, we are putting those seats at risk for 2024. We are putting the majority at risk. And it's not just impeachment that does that. Other issues like abortion, et cetera, also put those members on the plank.
That's my thoughts on that. Now, let's talk about heart problems and emails and Bill Barr next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I shamefully forgot to air drum just then when they did the boop, 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 boop. I'm sorry. I should be better than that. You deserve better than that from the Oracle. I don't know what kind of oracle I can be if I can't even think to air drum, but I will do better next time. We'll get to genocidal John Kerry here in a few minutes. I want to get to this story real quick. Not sure how I feel about it, and a couple more emails. Jesse, I've been hearing this week about LeBron James's son with the heart problem he suffered during practice. Why has nobody asked the question, since LeBron is an outspoken representative of the left in COVID vaccines? Was his son vaccinated prior to the heart problem? Well, here's something that I will be honest with you about. I struggle with. It's just you and me talking, all right? I personally struggle with this. Maybe you do too, maybe you don't. But I personally struggle with this a lot. I don't know how to handle, I don't know what I think the right way is to handle the heart complications and strokes, the increasing number of them, that have come in the wake of taking a therapeutic. There's no debating the numbers. The arguments, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your thoughts on it. There have been a lot more heart attacks, problems with myocarditis, strokes, especially in men, in the wake of these, quote, therapy, these vaccines, which it's not really what they are, but there are. You've seen the videos probably of the athletes, professional athletes, in supposedly peak physical condition, going down, clutching their chests. Multiple people, especially professional soccer players, have come out now publicly and said it was the vaccine, ruined my career. I can't even play anymore. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. I struggle with how to deal with it for a couple different reasons. One, you never know why. You never know for sure why. Men have heart attacks. Even young men will have heart attacks. It's a very sad thing, but it's part of life. Look, it happens in the Kelly family. The Kellys get heart attacks. My dad had open heart surgery. His dad, we lost him, heart stuff. It's just, it happens. It's the way it goes. The ticker don't last forever. It's just the way it goes. So we never know for sure. People like LeBron James, they're always going to lie, or at least hide, obfuscate. They're going to hide. They're going to hide the truth, because as somebody who's been a card-carrying member of the system, he's never going to say anything that goes against the system now. That's not how he operates. So I struggle with it because we don't know. And I struggle with how to deal with this for another reason. And that reason is this. I am becoming more and more aware of what the show means to some people. means to some people. I will tell you, the Israel trip was eye-opening for me and the wife. And look, my sister was there, parents were there, in-laws were there. It was eye-opening for everybody. I don't work in a political environment. I don't do a bunch of speeches where I fly around the country and give a speech here and speech there. I just want to do my show. I live a normal life. I'm around normal people. It's just me, Chris, and Michael. So I didn't realize how much the show means to some people. People telling me that it's kept them from suicide. It gets them through a day, got them through a divorce, got them through this. People, multiple people, crying when they talk to me on the trip about what the show means to people. And nothing's going to change on the show. Don't get me wrong. I'm always going to be me. But it was a bit eye-opening for me of how much the things we do on the show matter and how much people listen to them and how much people take them to heart. And what I don't want is this. All the people out there who felt forced to take that thing, or even worse, felt forced to have their children take it. This happened a lot in the country, a lot of places. Maybe it happened to you where your kid is in, maybe your kid's a sports star, baseball, basketball, football, and they told him he couldn't play anymore unless he got it. Now, you can shrug your shoulders if you're one of these people who didn't get it, like me, but man, that's not a small thing when you're a parent. Tell somebody, hey, put this in your son, or he has no shot at that college scholarship anymore. It's gone. Goodbye. Dude, that's not an easy conversation for everybody to have. That's not an easy decision. And if we start talking about these heart issues and things like that a lot, which I'm not going to do, I don't want people to feel worse than a lot of people already feel. Because this sentiment, man, I hear it all the time. I read it in my emails all the time.
It was literally my dream. I think I still might be dreaming. Four ladies were like, that's so gnarly. I was like, it's nothing. Like, did you get the vax? I went, nah. It was tough guy. I was in tough guy
that's
heaven.
That's about as cool as it gets.
I was in tough guy heaven, dude. It was the best, dude.
God, it's nothing more shameful when somebody's like, did you get it? It's like... yeah, I had to. Equally, so embarrassing.
To be fair.
So if somebody's sitting there ashamed or a little bit embarrassed or whatnot, what good does it do for me to beat that person over the face over and over and over again? Look, what do? We pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and we move on. All right. Bill Barr. Let's have a little Bill Barr talk. And then John Kerry got out there and got real, real honest again about their plans, about the things they're already implementing, not things that are coming, things that these global elites are already implementing, and we are not taking it nearly as seriously as we should. Now, before we get to that, let's get to our dogs and keeping them alive and keeping them healthy. When your dog gets older, as your dog moves along, this even happens when they're young, dogs get health problems. This happens. Eyes, hips, teeth, it happens. They're living things. It happens too often to dogs, though, because they don't ever get appropriate nutrition. There's no nutrition in dog food. That's why it's brown. It's dead. They killed everything in it. That's why your dog food is brown. Rough Greens is green, an all-natural nutritional supplement you pour on your dog's food. Fred doesn't even have digestive problems anymore. Start giving him vitamins, minerals, probiotics, digestive enzymes. You can see changes in your dog, and you'll have your dog around longer. They're giving out a free bag to get you going. Free bag. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse for your free bag, all right? Roughgreens.com/Jesse. All you pay for is the shipping. Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. Bill Barr came out and said he will jump off a bridge if Trump is the nominee. He will jump off a bridge if Trump is the nominee. I have so many things I want to say about this and so many things I'm about to say about this. And then we will get to the John Kerry soundbite, one you haven't heard, but one you need to hear. And this is going to be the part you need to play for your normie neighbor to wake him up. You ready for that? Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.